Olivia, you said you don't need your name in lights, but you're in our lights, man. You are a champion. And we do know your name. That's an upside and a downside. I know your name and where you live. So today is going to be like no worship service you have ever attended, including in this place. Totally different. So one way it's going to be different, and I'm using a clicker today. I think it's going to be a little distracting, but I'm going to do it anyway. But the other thing we're going to do this morning, we're actually going to do what God tells us to do in worship. And that's going to shake some people up. That's too bad, because I don't care. I'm just going to do what God calls us to do. So just put on your seatbelts, right? All right. So 3 years ago, a young man from Huntersville decided he was going to become a monk. And he entered into the bishop for 3 years in an order that had this very strict rule of silence. So he had to be silent for 3 years, except once a year he would go and speak to the abbot and say two words that he could share about his experience. So at the end of the first year, then the bishop goes to the abbot and says, "Bed's hard." Another year goes by, he goes to see the abbot and he says, "Food's bad." Third year he goes to see the abbot and says, "I quit." And the abbot said, "Well, I'm not surprised. All you've done since you've been here is complain and complain and complain." You see, our world and each of our worlds, we are infected by that disease. You look around, complaining, blaming, criticizing, whining. We live in this world that seems to be inundated with negative thoughts and words. We look at a world that seems to be lies that are not just half empty, they're empty. We look at lives that are self-focused instead of God-focused, and the result is we live joyless lives. Well, that's not the way God set it up. That's not what God wants for us. What God wants for us is summarized beautifully in what we call the catechism, which for those who've been around for a while, we used to have to memorize that. And the catechism sets out by questions and answers what it is that God's purpose is for our lives. And the very first question says, what is the chief, number one purpose of your life as a human being? And the answer is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. God wants our lives to be full of joy. And on this day that is so joyful in this family, God wants to infect us with a different disease, with this unquenchable, highly contagious, joy-filled life. He's going to do that by this scripture for today, which is Psalm 126. Now, this is not the psalm, and this is not the message I planned for you. I had in mind a totally different message and a wholly different scripture. I was so definite about it that I did not do what I normally do, and that is pray Jesus, tell it is to lay something on my heart. I do this every week. I didn't do this week. So I was turning through my Bible to find a scripture that I had decided on. The phone rang. It was one of our members. So I turned around and I talked to this person on the phone. And when I turned back around, Psalm 126 was staring at me and speaking to me. So then I did what I should have done to begin with. And I prayed about it, and it's clear that Jesus today wants this scripture to speak to us. Psalm 26, right in the center of what they call the Psalms of Ascent. Ascent. And they call it that because there were 15 psalms that were sung selectively when people were moving up to the temple, up the hill of the temple, on three festivals, once a year for each one, that they celebrate the temple in Jerusalem. Well, Psalm 21:26 is believed to be focused primarily on what was called the Festival of the Booths. Now, the Festival of the Booths, you like this. They go to Jerusalem and they set up these booths, which are like tents. And they celebrate with food and drink and fun and prayer and worship for 7 days. It's sort of like the annual camp out of Meadow Lake, except with wine, but not with s'mores. So they go up and they're singing this song, and they're celebrating this because it is the anniversary of when the people have been set free from exile in Persia, and they get the first harvest, so it's celebrated at harvest time. And they sing this amazing song, which lifts up the great things that God has done in their lives and lifts up for you and for me how it is that God wants us to respond to these great things and what He does when we do. Whoa. Back it up. Now, this is not going to work so great if that's what's going on here. Let's try. There you go. Okay. So, this psalm is this amazing words in just a few verses. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. The message says it like a dream come true. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs and shouts of joy. And then the nation said, the Lord has done great things for them. Oh yeah, the Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. Now restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the desert. A message says, and now do it again, Lord, do it again. Bring rains to those drought-stricken lives. So those who sow with tears will reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying precious seeds to grow, shall return with songs of joy, bringing in the harvest sheaves, armloads of blessings. God has great things for us. How am I doing? Okay. Not so great. Maybe it's not such a great idea. Stick with me, Jeff, okay?
I am.
Good. So what God wants in response to these great things he's done for us is songs and shouts for joy. I like this psalm because I like to shout, right?
Yes.
And boy, do I love to sing. So this is right down my sweet spot. So why does God want us to have songs and shouts for joy? Because when we sing and shout for joy in response to the great things that he has done, we are affirming and giving thanks that he loves us so much. He actually wants to do something great in your life. And when we sing and shout for joy, we are embracing the truth that not only does he do great things for us, he wants to use us to do great things in the world. And when we open our hearts to sing and shout, just not mumble and hunker down, when we really sing and shout with joy, what happens is God begins to crack open that crust around our hearts that is so full with negative and complaining and blaming and whining. And he opens our hearts to the joy that God wants for us. What God does is he sets us free, my friends, to embrace the blessings of every day with songs and shouts of joy. To receive the joy gift that he promises every day. And if we sing and shout so much, it's going to show on us. And you know what? Some neighbor may say, wow, look at what's happened in Michelle's life. God is doing great things for us. And they may just say, if he can do it for her, maybe he'll do it for me. And that, my friends, is a great thing. Yet, too often we take God's great things for granted, don't we? It's just like, Sometimes we decide that God hadn't given us a great thing. We've done it for ourselves. Sometimes we think the things God has done are not all that great. Sometimes we are so caught up in being negative and a complainer that our hearts are too hard for God to get through. We are joyless, and that has become who we are. You see, the purpose of worship, and this worship today, is to break through that crust. To break through our holding back from shouting and singing for joy for the precious, great things of God he does every day. But too often we're like this high church in Charlotte, where the heavy black robe preacher gets up to preach the sermon. He said, my friends, this is the word of the Lord for today. It is the word of the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Right about then, this young man jumps up and says, praise the Lord! And the high church people, they're looking around and frowning. The preacher's so shocked, he starts over again. This is the word of the Lord for today. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. That young man jumps up again, praise the Lord! About that time, the people are murmuring and frowning, and there's three suit-coated guy, very stern-looking usher comes up. I know these people, by the way. I used to go to church there. When I need a black robe, I borrow it from them. So this stern, heavy, expensive, three-suited usher comes up and says, what do you think you're doing? He said, I'm praising the Lord. And the man looks at that young man, the usher says, "Listen here, buddy. You sit down and you be quiet. We don't do that in here. This is a church." Yep. You see, God wants to use worship and this worship to break through that crust. And for some reason, we're holding back from singing and shouting for joy for the great things that God has done. So if you go home this week, maybe you'll stop taking God's great things for granted. You might just sing and shout for joy for the great things He does for you, the precious gifts of each day. So here's what we're going to do. Y'all ready? Y'all know this is coming. Now, y'all got to get loose. Y'all loose?
Yes.
Good. Okay. So we're going to practice this, and I'm going to lift up you just a sliver of the great things that God does, and I want you to respond like you really care.
Praise the Lord.
Exactly. Thank you, Hugh. Hugh, the Spirit is always moving in Hugh if he can hear you, and I think he can hear me, right, brother? Okay, that's good. That's one of the benefits of being a shouting preacher. So here we go. Y'all ready? God has given us breath and life for this day. Oh, yeah. God has given us this beautiful day. Come on, let's go. God has given you this family. He's given you your family. Well, maybe you don't want to say praise the Lord for that one, but let's do it anyway. Let's do it. Okay. God has given you friends. God has given you hope. God has given you healing. Come on, Jennifer, you can do it. It will not hurt you to do this. I'm telling you. I'm looking at all you folks and seeing where the sinners are sitting. Y'all with me on this? Okay. So God has answered your prayers. God has given you love. And God has given us the path and the passion and the power to bust that mortgage, bust us from mortgage confinement to ministry excitement. Okay, so this is good. God is so happy with you this morning. So if you'll just praise the Lord like that, you know, you just wanted in here today, brother. This is the way to go around this place. Okay?
Amen, brother.
So if you'll praise God like that every morning, suppose you got up. Time I got up and said, "Yeah, you got cancer. Yeah, you do. But you know what? You got up again today. Praise God for that. And you got great doctors. Praise God for that. You got the most wonderful husband in the world. Praise God for that, right? And you still every day make my lunch and stick it in that bag so I can bring it to church. Praise God for that. I mean, if you just start every day and Dawson says to Brooks, "I am so glad you are my brother. I am so glad you are my sister. I am so glad, Mom, that you care for me." Suppose you started every day like that instead of just giving a peck on the cheek and walking out the door. It would change your life. I'm telling you, we take each other for granted. We take every day for granted. Do not do that. Give praise to God with shouts and songs of joy. Now, there are countless great things that God wants for us. But this is the greatest. Now we got JD. So who's that? Okay, so that's J.B. Luckovich. They're not here today. So Sally is alone on the front row. Y'all just leave Sally sitting there like a waif on the front seat. Okay, I'm sorry, honey.
A cold one.
Not for everybody. I'm hot right now. Okay, so what's happened here is that on Tuesday, the plague struck the Luckovich family. You know the one, enough to say down, enough to say then. Y'all with me on this? So JB gets it on Tuesday, and then Jimmy gets it on Wednesday, and Christine gets it on Thursday. So this is Tuesday. So why is JB looking so happy, wrapped in his "I'm still sick, throwing up" blanket? Why is he so happy? They are celebrating something. The most important day in their life, his life, they're celebrating. What is it? Wrong. What they're celebrating is the most important day in his life. It's his Jesus' birthday. For 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, he was baptized. They are celebrating the day that Jim and Christine took JB and gave him to Jesus to claim his life. And they rejoice for the great thing that God will do in his life because they have given him to Jesus. And someday, JB will make the decision for himself to say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. You take my life where you want it to go. You see, this is the greatest gift God has done for us. God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus in the world. Not to condemn us, but to save us, to save you and me. To do sort of like God does for the Israelites, for the Judeans, to take them out of exile, to save us from the exile we live in, the captivity we live in, from the world it is, that the life it is that God wants for us. Jesus dies on the cross to take away those sins that get in the way of us and God and us and each other, the way he wants us to live, so that we can live that full, joy-filled life. And God was raised up. God raised up Jesus from the dead so he could be our living Lord, not some dead teacher. So that he can walk with us through life and give us the abundant life. And do you remember when the last night before Jesus was crucified, he says, if you'll do these things, if you'll let me in your life, I'm going to give you one big thing. It's a three-letter word. I'm going to give you joy. Joy, complete joy. See, Jesus comes to set us free so we can be joyful. And someday, that day is going to come for everybody sitting in this room. You're going to be leaving this world. And Jesus gives us the joy of knowing that we're going to be in heaven with him forever. Is that worth the praise?
Yes, yes.
Jesus coming into your life. Jesus has given himself for you. Let's hear it, folks. Okay, so I couldn't resist what I'm going to do next. And it's a push, but I know that. But I'm going to show you a metaphor for what this can look like in our lives. So those are three baby birds. That's like us. We come in the world and we are hungry. We need to be fed for life. And we need to be fed to be transformed, to become more than that. What is going on with my little clicker here? I think the Lord has taken it over. So that's okay. So what happens, though, is then this happens. So we get out in the world and we decide to wander away from God, our Creator. And we wander away and we end up like that. There are so many people whose growth is stunted. They never become the full, beautiful person that God could have made them because they do not accept Jesus in their life. They just stay like that. But what can happen if we bring Jesus into our life is he can begin to feed us, to become the full and beautiful person we can be, and eventually we become that person, that beautiful, amazing, vibrant life person he wants us to be, and then we get ready to fly and soar like that. Soaring into this amazing, abundant life that God wants for us, and someday, like that. Heading to the abundant life forever. That's what Jesus wants for us. I showed you this bird. You know why? Anybody know what that bird is? Exactly. The common name of this bird is the bird of paradise. But the actual scientific name means bird of God. It's named that because it is this beautiful, colorful, vibrant creation of God. That when it grows from those little babies in that nest and that wandering chick on the road, if it's fed and cared for and nurtured like it should, it becomes this beautiful gift of heaven. That's you. If you'll let Jesus take hold of your life, that's you. You can soar like that. Be beautiful like that. Do not stunt your growth. Give your life to Jesus. And he will give you abundance, more than you could ever have asked for. Now, I know, shockingly, there are days when you leave here and do not remember what I had to say. You might remember this one for a few minutes. I got to confess to you that every now and then my wife says, I don't remember a thing you said today. That's at lunch. And I say, guess what, honey? Neither do I. So what I'm going to do today, and I'm going to give you this gift, a tool, and we're going to sing. Well, I'm going to sing first, and you're going to sing with me. Y'all ready for this? So I'm going to sing this song, and this is the chorus. So we get the chorus. We all blast this out with me? All right, y'all ready? To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all can come in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Don't you love that?
Yes.
I'm telling you, you sing that song every morning in your house, and you're going to be on fire and fill it up with Jesus in your life. You notice the focus of that is the great thing, he says. Jesus coming and opening up the life gates. So there is still one more thing that God wants to do. It's lifted up by Judy earlier, the word we just sang in part two of our song. Although the people have been brought out of exile into Israel, it turns out that some of the people still don't have God in their life. Some of the people are out there beyond them living desert lives. And the hope is that somehow someone will go out and bring them in out of the desert to the life God wants for them. So there are... Yeah. Uh-oh, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here. I'm going to have to work on this a little bit, okay? So it's very sensitive, this thing. So what God wants us to do is to go out to these people around us who are living desert lives. You know there are people out there who live in a drought, whose lives are dry, whose lives are meaningless and purposeless, who are addicted to some unhealthy habit, some unhealthy addiction, whose lives are going nowhere, who are meaningless and purposeless. They're dying in the midst of life. And the hope and the prayer is that we will go out. For God promises that if we do, that joy will come. And for that to happen, we have to take out the precious seeds. Like this. The precious seed of the Word of God, which is through which the abundant life comes. All we got to do is plant the seeds, because if we do, God will provide the harvest. In fact, you notice God promises this will happen. He used a very specific word. Those who go out weeping, carrying precious seeds to sow, shall return with songs of joy, bringing in the harvest sheaves, armloads of blessings. Question is whether we will go out weeping, caring so much for the drought lives around us that we will actually go. I've seen this happen. We're going to close up with this and one more song, which you probably know what it is. But I know a lot, you're right, Jane. So I know a lot of where this has happened. But God laid a person on me a year ago, last spring. His name is Keith. And Keith washes cars part-time in people's yards and people's houses, and one of our friends uses them all the time, basically to keep food on his plate. So our friend called me last spring and said, would you like for Keith to come over and wash your car? I said, well, sure, I knew why he wanted to come. He needed some money. So Keith comes over, and he washed my car, and he said, will you take me to a neighborhood where I got three more customers? So I said, sure, and on the way, he said, what are you doing this afternoon? I said, well, I'm doing what I do every Saturday, and that is I'm working on a sermon. I'm waiting for Jesus to tell me what to say. He said, what's the sermon about? I said, well, it's about the 15th chapter of John where Jesus promises joy. He said, I know about that joy. He said, I got in big trouble in my life. I made some big mistakes, and when I got out, I didn't ask him what out meant. I couldn't get a job. I had no place to live. I was homeless. And I thought my life was over until a man named Alan came to me at a homeless shelter, and he was kind to me. I remembered you, Michelle, very much from your comment 2 weeks ago. Is the main thing we hope for our students this year is to be kind to someone else. That is such a great insight. So he was kind to me, and he took time to talk to me and get to know me. And after a while, he brought in some friends from his church to meet me. And he said, I didn't have Jesus in my life. I didn't need Jesus in my life. And they started praying for me, and I liked it. And I started going to their church, and they showed me what love looks like. They found me a place to live. They got me some part-time jobs to get me restarted on my life. And my life began to change. And three months later, I gave my life to Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Now I have a wonderful wife and a 2-month-old daughter. I'm full of joy. And he said, I'm now an elder in that church, and after worship every Sunday, I take a few men and we go to a prison, and I give those men what those men gave me and what Jesus gave me. And now three of them have gotten out, and they come to our church. And Jesus had taken hold of their lives, and he smiled at me and said, yeah, I know about joy. He said, you know what, friend? He said, I give thanks every day for what Jesus does in my life. And ask him to send me to give that joy to someone else like me. Do you care? Do you care about the drought-stricken lives around you? I hope so. Because what God says, if you will go out and plant those precious seeds in their life, then he'll do the rest. But here's the strange thing that he says. And when that happens, you may bring them joy, but God says, you will rejoice. You, the seed planter for Jesus. So I want you all to stand up. We're going to sing a song this morning. One more. And that is the chorus. Y'all get to sing the chorus. Y'all okay with that? All right, y'all ready? All right, y'all know this song. Some of you, Jane knows it. She's nodding. She was always way ahead of me. Okay, as she always is. Bless you, Jeff. So I'm going to sing the verses, and y'all sing the chorus. All right? Y'all ready? Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontime and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest, waiting for the reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, oh, bringing in the sheaves. We shall go rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, oh, bringing in the sheaves. We shall go rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the reaping over, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sing it hard! Singing in the sheaves, oh, singing in the sheaves.
We shall go rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, oh, bringing in the sheaves. We shall go rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Beautiful! That's what people say! Today, an unquenchable and contagious joy for the great